So thank you so much for leading us. Cruising right through this short series. Today we'll be more than halfway through. We're right in the middle there. We looked at the promise of Christmas a bit, a proclamation of Christmas last week. This week, the purpose of Christmas. Next week, the praise of Christmas, and Christmas Eve, the precious of Christmas. This time of year, right? Lots of gift giving and whatever else. We were gifted some Brian Dirksen tickets to the concert on Friday night. I don't know what day it is. Sunday. It was really good. I actually had to leave at the intermission, but that's whatever. One of the things he did, just before one song he sang, he said this is a newer song that he had written, Brian Dirksen had, but it was based off a blog post by Steve Green, Steve Bell. Blah, blah, blah. I knew that. Thanks for correcting me. There's quite a few people there. That's good. Keep me on track. If I say anything wrong, correct me. Steve Bell, he's a singer, songwriter, poet, and he'd written this blog post, and that inspired this new song. And basically, to summarize part of it, it is, at this time of year, God with us, God in us, and God through us. And just piecing those three elements together. And it's where I was going already with this message, having it virtually done by Friday night. But as I was just thinking about this and the purpose of Christmas, what is the purpose of Christmas? Well, a piece of it is peace restored, but it's bigger than that. It's all sorts of things. And as I thought about the purpose of Christmas and even these three things, God with us, God in us, and God through us, often we tend to focus on one or the other of those things. And it reminded me of some years ago, we were gifted a puzzle. And it was new. It was in its tightly wrapped plastic and whatever else. And we're building this puzzle. And increasingly became confused with this puzzle because, well, as we came to understand, it was missing a couple of the border pieces, as well as some, there wasn't enough green pieces to finish the two patches of green bush in this puzzle. But you keep thinking we must have done something wrong, and so trying to reconfigure this thing, and no, it's just a brand new puzzle missing pieces. Sometimes I think we're missing a piece of what God is up to at Christmas, too. We're only focused on one of those things. So what is the purpose of Christmas as we look at this? Sometimes we think of a scene, you know, with a fire and the tree decorated, and it's just a beautiful scene, right? And it's we're family to gather. It's just all peaceful, just as it's supposed to be. How many Christmases actually turn out like that, though, right? You've got interpersonal relationships and family dynamics and, oh, la la, this and that, and expectations here and reality here. All sorts of stuff goes on, and somehow we miss what Christmas is really about. Well, as I was thinking about this, not very long ago, we were together with a family and a bunch of VeggieTales songs came up. So I thought about this, Buzzsaw Louie, right? Where the attitude of Christmas is, I want a Buzzsaw Louie. I want the latest toy. I want this. I need this to make me okay. Ugh. Sorry, I can't handle wine. Gives me shivers, even when I'm doing it. Sometimes we think Christmas is about shopping, going to the mall. It's those experiences of finding just the right gift for somebody. that's not all bad, but it still misses some pieces of it. Somewhere in the midst of it, it's about glory to God and peace on earth. And God with us, God in us, and God through us. And again, we can miss one of those pieces. So look, even considering God with us, Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Powerful phrase. We could just stop and dwell on that for a bit, but how do you become one of those with whom the Lord is pleased? That's the recipients of the peace. That's just a question to float out there. John 8:12 says again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How do you gain the light of life? Well, there's a clue there. Whoever follows me. God with us, and us going with God, following him actively. We're disciples experiencing him. And in experiencing him, we experience true peace and true light. Jesus firsthand. The Old Testament, they understood God with them to some degree. And read Isaiah 26, the first number of verses, and make a few comments on this. But think about that, God with us, and their understanding of God with us is obviously as pre-manger, pre-incarnation. But they still had an idea God is with us at certain times and in certain ways. And Isaiah is looking forward. Now, almost all prophecy has a near fulfillment and then a far fulfillment. Here's what Isaiah writes in chapter 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. Now, this is quoting a song. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls of bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. Again, how do you become a righteous nation? What makes somebody righteous? You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. How do we keep our mind stayed on the Lord and experience his perfect peace? It is speaking of the shalom, things set right, that just as they should be. It's not us being good enough or earning it, but there is an element of God with us and us with God. For he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. It's a clue here about humility and God with us and us with God. The path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. Dwelling on God's character and his deeds has something to do with God's presence being with us and us with him. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. If favor is shown to the wicked, he does not learn righteousness. In the Lord, in the land of uprightness, He deals corruptly and does not see the majesty of the Lord. And this earnestly seeking the Lord, God with us, yet it demands a response of us with God, trusting and yielding, consecrating ourselves, being set apart to Him. The wicked go on a very different path. O Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be ashamed. Let the fire for your adversaries consume them. O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works. It's what God does, not what people do. O Lord our God, other lords beside you have ruled over us, but your name alone will we bring to remembrance. They are dead, they will not live. They are shades, they will not arise. To that end, you have visited them with destruction and wiped out all remembrance of them. Continue towards the prize, pursue it, remembering his name, remembering who he is, his character. But you have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have enlarged all the borders of the land. It's something God does. He breaks into human history. God with us, and they understood that. They had the Ark of the Covenant, right? Remember when David was trying to bring it up, and they're singing, and you can read that story later, but they end up leaving it at that, I forget his name now, but left it at his house, and he's wildly blessed, God with him in that presence of the Ark of the Covenant, and they understood he's with us when he gives us victory in battle and all these things, but like Larry said earlier, it's more than just the peace of absence of war. Right? God was with them in David's reign because he honored God first and foremost and brought peace on all their borders by the end of David's reign and throughout Solomon's time. They enjoyed peace, but it was an imperfect peace. It was just a lack of battle. And both the prophet and scripture speaks of a peace that's much bigger than this. This is the purpose of Christmas, to bring true and lasting peace that is full. God with us, God in us, and God through us. 1 Timothy 1, 15 to 17. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world. We celebrate it. But it's connected with the next phrase, immediately, to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. And is bringing life, but he's bringing it through sinful mankind. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This isn't just God with us, and then kind of in the Old Testament format, well, he solves the circumstances of my life and, you know, brings about peace on our borders. This is bigger and broader and deeper, much like his love, right? The height, width, and depth, discovering that. God with us. It's a perfect peace. It's a shalom. And it's not only for us. It's God with us. And right, when Jesus says to his disciples, it is for your good, I return to the Father. Because Jesus was constrained, because he was fully human and fully God, but he could only be in one place at a time. So even when he was on the planet, he could be with these disciples, but not those ones, unless they happen to be together. He says, it's good that I return to the Father, because I'll send another God in us, the Holy Spirit, right? And he says for the disciples to wait until you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, God in us, he's with us constantly. And with us powerfully, abiding within us, and we abide in him, right? It's much like God with us, and we with God. We're following him, and he's in us, and we are in him, and it's a powerful dynamic. And in that, we experience the peace of Christ and the purpose of Christmas, but not yet fully. There's even more. As 1 Timothy says, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Right? All those words that we were describing earlier, reading through Isaiah, it's about humbling, humbly following. Righteousness not our own, but the righteousness imputed to us by Jesus. His righteousness. That's how we're seen by God when we receive him by faith. And it's Christ with us, God with us, it's God in us. And I think the most common piece we miss at Christmas, God through us. How many things do we do in the Christmas season just simply for ourselves? For our immediate families or whatever else, even for our own congregations, and not for who Jesus came for. He came for sinners. I think back to my relatives there. They were traveling out to get together with family on the train. And on the train, they met a young girl from Europe who had no particular place to go for Christmas, and on the way to their son's place, my cousin, second cousin, whatever he is, on the way there, without even talking to him first, they invited her to their place for Christmas. That's beautiful. That's Christ-like. Who do we invite into our celebrations? I think of the concert. Brian Dirksen concert. How many of us invited someone else into that? Who else needs to see that God is worthy of praise and glory and honor and to be touched with the purpose of Christmas? Years ago, in our church, when we were first married, we went to a Joyful Noise, they were called. They're out of Saskatchewan. Great group of singers. And I had a couple of twinges of the Spirit that week. Think about this concert coming up and what's my response and who else I could invite. But I just put them out and went on with my busyness. And the whole time, sitting through that concert, I'm thinking, why didn't I invite this neighbor? Why didn't I invite this person? It was such a fun. We were laughing. But it was so God-honoring. And God-glorifying, powerful message in both their music and in how they transition from song to song. The whole time, I'm thinking about these people. Why didn't I invite people into this? Christmas, the purpose of it, is God with us. We celebrate that. Absolutely. It's true. Take hold of it. Cherish it. He broke into history. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of miracles. It's no small thing. It's also God in us. Perpetually, consistently, constantly, we have access to the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same person abides within us. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and we abide in him. It's God in us. And it's God through us. North American church has stepped back and hasn't been a voice of peace and life or actions either of peace and life. And I'm certain it grieves Almighty God. The way we do our services is largely for ourselves. The way we do small groups often is for ourselves. Special events, like I've mentioned some of them, we do it for ourselves. with, I think, a missing piece is God through us as well. Go where there's no peace and actively be a peacemaker into the heart of conflict, into darkness, because we're filled with the light. We don't need to be afraid of darkness. And extending the borders of the kingdom. It's all three, constantly, consistently letting others know about the peace available. It's not a once in a while thing, but we go. God is with us. God is in us. And God is working through us constantly. Are we opening ourselves up to that? Are we being obedient? Are we inviting? Are we going and being Christ to other people? To join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, first I just want to confess for how selfishly I've acted. I've even prided myself on knowing the reason for the season. Jesus, it's about you and doing whatever, and yet still missing pieces. Still missing a significant piece. How in this time of year can not lots of conversations come up? So many people who don't know you celebrate Christmas. They know it's supposed to be about peace and joy, but they don't know true peace or true joy because they don't know you yet. How can not all sorts of conversations come up? How can we not purchase tickets to events for others? God, I've just been utterly selfish. And thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Paul says he was the foremost of sinners, but a recipient of mercy, that you might be glorified, God. You might be glorified. We celebrate that you are God with us and God in us. And God through us. We have peace with God. We can experience a peace that passes understanding in the midst of conflict and all sorts of things. We experience your light when there's darkness. We thank you. And God, would you also open us up to be increasingly allow you to be God through us. We would be your hands and feet, and to make your peace known so that more would be in that group on whom your favor rests. We're already in relationship with many of these people, God. Is it an action, a word, a listening ear that will move them towards understanding who you are? We pray the purpose of Christmas would be realized here in Coaldale this year. In us, with us, and through us. For your glory, we pray. Amen. As we sing the